Hello and welcome, everybody, to Around the Battleground. My name is Ellie Jess, and I'm your host for today. As you can see, it's just me here to join you in our wonderful Smite show. Unfortunately, Culture's not going to be joining us, and I think moving forward, Culture will no longer be a part of the show. He's going on to do bigger and better things, so best of luck to him. So now we have 100% success rate of bringing in talented youngsters and sending them off into the bright blue yonder of the world. So maybe we'll have to bring J-Mac in for some shows in between as we find our new co-host, but maybe not. He's a very busy man. So we'll be looking for that as we move forward. Just a little housekeeping on the front end here to kind of keep you guys informed. Apart from that, it's officially phase two, everybody. Phase one is dead and in the ground. MSI is fresh behind us, and now we look forward to phase two, which feeds us directly into the Smite World Championship. So it's a good time to be a Smite fan. It's been a bit of a weird off season. In between the, you know, phase one with MSI and then now into phase two, lots of stuff kind of being talked about behind closed doors, behind the scenes with roster changes and things like that. So today we got our first look at roster changes and was a little bit underwhelming on a few ends. We'll start with our SML roster changes. I don't believe EU made any roster changes going into this next split. They did, however, get their two new teams, which were, oh my lord, I don't even remember them off the top of my head. I know it was, they have Horizon, who picked up a squad, and then they picked up another squad as well. I can't remember off the top of my head. You know, I've been too focused with NA SML. For those of you who don't know, I am now officially an SML coach. I coach for the Exilium squad. Super happy and excited about that. We did make a roster change ourselves going into NA, so I guess that's a relevant place to start to talk. Going into this split, there was some stuff going on behind the scenes. I don't want to talk about it too much, but we felt the best way to move forward is we went with Hythe as our mid laner. And so our roster going into the SML is now Wheels, Osath, Hythe, Kirmi, and Dishonored. Guys who have been playing around with each other for forever now, and so we feel pretty good. Really hopeful to not finish in last for this coming season. You know, that's obviously the goal. We would love to be able to qualify for Worlds, but that's going to be a really tough ask. The SML is really super competitive. There's just so much talent going in right there. We'll start at the top. Sanguine as the top team in a SML is just they're sticking together. There was some rumors, maybe. I think rumors that were more blown out than they probably should have been, with maybe Yarkor not being the solo laner moving forward after the showing that Oxylidon, whatever his name was, however you pronounce it, after a while, the great showing he had at LAN. But they are moving forward with their core roster of guys. I can only imagine what Yarkor would have been able to do with the LAN. I will say, I think that Yarkor is a bit of an inconsistent player. And so when Oxy came in, he kind of just put his head down and did his job and kind of did it consistently over the course of the weekend. And so that'll be a little bit of a contributing factor. I think that Yarkor's ceiling is much higher, but we'll see if he can kind of work on that consistency. It's always an issue at these lower levels. Armada made a bunch of roster changes going into this phase. You have Baskin coming back, Solar Troll leaving. You've got Snoopy leaving the squad now and going up into the SPL. So that squad now looks like, and this will kind of feed into some SPL roster talks later on down the road, it is now Oceans. It is Man, who is their support? Why can't I, for the life of me, remember who Armada's support player is? Oh, holy dude. My brain is just a little bit fried. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I've got a lot going on with the work and everything like that. It's I know I should know this. Who in the it's Gino. It's not Gino, but it is Gino. Gino's the support player. Good Lord, man. I was in the process of looking that up and I remembered who it was. Jeez, man. You think that you're going to remember all this stuff and then you get right down into it and you forget things. And you, as you get older, and as an old man myself, you know, you just kind of find yourself forgetting some things sometimes. So, right, that roster is Oceans, Shadow, Ogino, and then Shadow Chair and their Jungler's Mask, and now their Soul Laner is Baskin again, returning to that roster. So still interesting roster, strong roster. Oceans being a very interesting pick for that team, I feel like. He, you know, wasn't bad by any means in the SPL level, but we'll see if he is able to really keep that going. Wait, am I trolling? No, it's Shadow Chair's not on the team. That's Meerkat. I'm getting old, guys. Wow. None of you are going to correct me. None of you are going to help me out. That was that roster. Pardon me. I take it back. Belay my last. That roster is Oceans, Gino, Meerkat, Mask, and Baskin. Good Lord. Still a decent roster. Moving forward, but you know, you gotta have questions. Ocean's going over that ADC role, where I think we saw him predominantly shine in the mid role at the SPL level. They did kind of move him over to ADC, and I don't think it really worked that well. And so him, there's gonna be a lot of expectations in that Armada roster, and they won't be as dominant as they were in the first part of the season. Obviously, with Baskin back on the team, that they're a force to be reckoned with, but I feel like Snoopy was a pretty big part of that squad as well. So they kind of take a tick down in overall quality. You have Cryptic. Cryptic basically is a new roster. They are formed out of the ashes of one of the Combine teams, and the, you know, I think it's like original Cryptic. It's really, it's a lot to process there. So they have, that roster is now Mando and Cope with Shadow, Sybil, and Diesel, if I remember correctly. That squad is, you know, very differently shaped than what they were at the end of the phase. And it'll be interesting to see how that team goes moving forward. Obviously, they played really well in the Combine, a lot of these players. Mando's a player that I love. He's, you know, a friend of mine, friend of the show. So, you know, I want to see him succeed. Obviously not succeed too much, because he's a rival of my team now. But I think Mando has a lot of talent. I think that, you know, for him to not be in the SPL is pretty criminal at this point, you know. He's shown a lot of talent, a lot of promise. Cope, obviously a great jungle, you know, he showed what he could do several times at LAN. Last year he was, you know, ready to go, and nothing really to say about that realistically. Mid, you know what you're going to get with support. It'll be interesting to see if Sybil handles the move as well as people are predicting. Sybil was the top Combine support player, some would say, but support as a role is pretty thin. And it'll be interesting to see if he really flowers. I don't know. He really develops and grows once he's in the SML now. And then Diesel, right? I think it'll be interesting to see Diesel kind of go up against some better competition than the combine guys every day. This is a squad that is kind of dangerous, could make waves. Really excited to see how they match up against Sanguine and Armada. At the bottom, you know, you've got your SSG Gold. You know, we always kind of put them at the bottom just because of, you know, no scrimming. But I do know now that that squad is starting to scrim. They are working to get better. And so with that, they could be dangerous. I really like that squad with some extra experience and training. I think that they could be not a bottom team if they really try and put their minds to getting better. A lot of people hate on Matty Pocket and his role on this team, but I do think that Matty has been at an SML level and quality support. He has not been the biggest problem on that team at any point. So that roster is Oswald, Matty. They've moved Chapo into the jungle, and they have who do they have mid? Why can't I think about who they have mid? Who is the mid laner for SSG Gold? We're running into this problem where I can't remember. Wow. I'm sure it'll come to me, right? I can't forget everything forever. And then Uzzy on the soul lane. Still a decent roster. Not going to wow anybody or anything, but could kind of rise up from the bottom, especially with the addition of the two combine teams. They've kind of had the experience of being against SML competition moving forward, but they haven't really put it all together yet. And I think that might, I don't know, that could change, obviously, but doesn't necessarily have to. This is gonna bug me. I have to go look at the Smite Esports Wiki now, because I have to remember who is on SSG Gold. Oceans is on SSG Gold. What the heck am I talking about with the SML then? Who else? Who? I said Oceans was on another team, didn't I? What am I talking about? Armada. Vedium is the hunter for Jesus. Guys, I've blacked out for the last week. I've been watching too many scrims, too many VODs. Vedium has come onto Armada as their ADC, not Oceans. I got those two confused. Vedium is now on the Armada roster, and that does make my evaluation of Armada stronger. He's definitely a better player than Oceans. But Oceans coming into mid for Space Station, letting Chapo move over into the jungle role. Mask is no longer on the team. This guy's lost as fuck. I know I am. It's been a while. SML has been such an up-down affair with rosters. I'm trying to follow it all, especially on the last minute kind of stuff, like some of these things were. It's been crazy. Lastly, I think we have our last team moving into the SML is the Mollusk team. Mollusk's team gets picked up for Hype Unit, and they're looking all right. They look like a... It's hard for me to say this, because obviously I think they're going to be a bottom team, because we can't be a bottom team. But you look at this team, you look at Sops mid, okay, that's solid. You look at Benny Q Hunter, that's got some questions on it because Benny at times has looked really good, but then has also looked not great at times. Pagon support. Pagon is an interesting wild card here. I think obviously the weakest part about this roster might just be Poppy in the solo lane. So it'll be interesting to see him go up against Mando Warrior, against Baskin, against Uzi, you know, some of these guys who are more established in the lane. And I think that's going to be a big part for any of these SML teams is, you know, when you have to go, you have to throw your solo laner up against Baskin. It's not something that generally is going to work well for your solo laner. So moving on now, after we've like covered all the rosters, we'll talk about what my predictions for the SML season is going to be. Obviously, I'm a little biased on how I feel these predictions are going to shape up. I think I honestly, it's hard for me to decide between Armada and Sanguine who is going to emerge as the top team. I want to say that it'll be Sanguine. Sanguine has been grinding. They've been working really hard. They are a squad that are getting better and want to get better, and that's driving them to get better. They scrim a lot, and they put in a lot of time into the game, and you saw what that accomplished when they went to MSI with a sub. They played very well. Honestly should have won more than they did if you ask me. So, but Armada has Vedium, Baskin. It's really hard to root against that roster right now because they are pretty stacked. Just based off of the name power, I think I still got to give Armada the top slot. I just think they've been that good. I think Armada at the top, and then Sanguine, then Cryptic. I think Cryptic has potential to jockey for a number one, number two spot. But right now, before the season starts, I got to put them at number three and kind of see how it goes from there. On the other side, we got the other three, right? We've got SSG Gold. We've got Hype Unit, and we've got Exilium. And there's no way Exilium finishes last because I'm coaching that team and won't allow that to happen. I think a realistic assumption is that if we play well, we finish, you know, it'll be SSG Gold, us, then Hype Unit. If I'm being lofty, I think it'll be us, SSG Gold, or us and then SSG Gold or Hype Unit, whoever, which one of them kind of wins out towards the end. If I'm being honest, I think it'll be a rough split for some of these bottom teams moving forward because the top has really bolstered themselves and there's just a lot of competition to be had in the Smite Minor League, and that's one of the things that has kind of driven it to get better and better, and you've seen so many SML players move up into the SPL, and it's been really nice to watch. But, you know, ultimately, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to watch the SML. I think there's a lot of unknowns kind of going into this phase just because of the Combine teams coming up. And then some of the roster changes happening on these other teams could really shift the balance. And I mean, Sanguine stays the same. So are they? Is their stability going to be the key to their victories? Who knows? Excuse me. Let me take a little drink here. All right. Moving on from the SML, we're going to jump right into the SPL rosters. They were just announced today. And not as much movement as I was expecting, if I'm being completely honest. Obviously, we knew that Renegades, Dignitas, Knights, and Rival weren't making any changes, right? So that so that left us with United, Trifecta, who's now Obey, Splice, Luminosity, SK, and Space Station. And, you know, I thought we were going to make a lot more moves. I was hearing, if I'm being honest with you guys, I was hearing a lot of more chatter behind the scenes about potential moves than what ended up actually happening. And that's slightly due to contracts and the way that the league is structured, and buyouts and things like that. It would have been really difficult for some stuff to kind of go through. If you remember before the MSI happened, there was, you know, our interview with Kabam, and we talked to him, and I asked him, you know, flat out, you know, about Solar Troll and Mando Warrior coming in and replacing their solo laners, and like he straight up told me that they weren't good enough. He would hope that they have better options available to him because he doesn't want to choose either of them. He doesn't think they'll fit. So that was an interesting statement from him. And, you know, they would be trying to get somebody from another team. And so I heard a lot of chatter about, you know, who they were going after, teams that they were looking at, things like that. But ultimately, they don't get an SPL player to come in to get that solo slot. Splice make their change and they bring up Solar or Troll as their new solo laner. And that's, you know, we kind of all expected that regardless of what Kabam's statements were. Solar Troll has had the best showing, has already played with this team, and you know, you can't really say anything else. Solar Troll is gonna fit into this team. It's going to be hard for him to kind of fit the shoes of Baskin. You know, Baskin has been mechanically so good, and all of this kind of the little things that he does in order to add up to a win are going to, all the intangibles and things like that are going to be, you know, nigh unreplaceable. So is Solo going to be able to come in and kind of galvanize the team and galvanize the role and be able to do what they're asking of him at a high level? I think he has the potential to do it. I think he's a really talented player, but I also think that he needs to be in a situation that nurtures that. If he can't kind of do it on his own, I don't think he'll last on the squad. You look at a player like Moswell, who was good but needed to grow. He ended up leaving the squad. You know, he wasn't given that opportunity. They were too controlling from his words about what he could play and everything like that. And they didn't really, it wasn't a nurturing environment where they would help a guy come up. You had to already be ready to hit the ground running. So if Solo isn't that guy, we can see Splice kind of peter out towards the end of the split. Another roster change we'll look at here is we'll go with Luminosity. So Luminosity bring up, actually no, we won't go with Luminosity first. We'll go with Trifecta. So Trifecta make a team change. Trifecta is no more. The team is now going to be Obey. Trifecta is now being, you know, kind of absorbed into Obey. Shook bought the brand and is bringing it back. So that'll be interesting moving forward and how the resources will get changed. My favorite part about this is that Obey has been such a loved brand in the Smite community, and they had such established players and like the good guys, the, you know, Ataraxia, Captain Twig, Pretty Prime, all these kind of fresh-faced guys. You know, it was kind of like, ooh, they got Raffer, scandalous. And I did forget that Obey had Raffer earlier. I made a tweet that said that Obey as a roster finally had a world champion, and I completely forgot the iteration of Obey's roster where they had Raffer. But I, you know, the new Obey does have a world champion, Jungler, unlike anybody else, any other iteration of their roster. Weekend is not that fresh-faced guy. So you have these old Obey fans who are going to come back because it's Obey, but then it's going to be a very different feel and a very different team. And you have, you know, Weekend as kind of the antithesis of like a lot of what the Obey fandom was. And I think it'll be really funny to see who takes on that, you know, the new Obey mantle, and like who's like, no, I can't root for Obey anymore. They betrayed me. They've got Weekend. And that'll just be funny to watch. But their roster change comes in the form of kicking Ionic. They felt like they needed to make a change in that support role. And I think everyone kind of says, okay, yeah, who can blame you? I think a lot of people would have looked at this squad to make more roster changes. Wowie in the Hunter role hasn't exactly set the league on fire. Ducky in the solo lane as well hasn't set the world on fire. You hear so much behind the scenes in scrims and everything like that, that Ducky is amazing and it's great. But we haven't exactly seen results on that for a good while. So maybe, you know, maybe could have seen Mando come up in that role. But we don't. They kind of stick together. And we'll see if that's the right decision. We'll see if the, you know, the problems on the team were solely on Ionic, because I know Ionic and we can maybe clash with comms and the style of playing the game, everything like that. It'll be interesting to see where Mineral kind of fits in on that. Mineral coming up from the Cryptic squad, having a lot of talent, smart guy, should fit in pretty well on this squad, I feel like, having known Weekend for a while and then having known Mineral for a bit now as well. It feels like it could be a good fit. And so I'm excited to see if this kind of propels this roster up. You know, the entire phase one Weekend was really the one carrying this team forward and then being let down in certain situations. They brought on Moswell, and I still have to say, I'm not the biggest fan of the Moswell mid. I'm more than ready to be proven wrong, but I just don't think that, yes, I know he's a world champion, but I do not believe that he is the guy to really make a huge change. We've seen him do some stuff. We've seen him, you know, pull out the Ullers, and then maybe that'll be different. Maybe that'll, with the meta kind of shifting towards the double Hunter, putting his Uller in mid and everything like that, we could see Trifecta, well, Obey really rise up and do better. Honestly, if they kind of do stick to that, I could see this team rising up a couple spots. I think this squad finishes above SSG in the standings. It'll all depend on whether or not Weekend can keep up his high level of play, and whether or not, you know, the other members kind of rise up and figure out how to play around Mineral, and Mineral, you know, leads them to victories that Ionic was unable to do. So following Ionic, he moves on to Luminosity. LG kicks Kiki and replaces him with Ionic, and then they kick Oceans and put Snoopy in mid. I'm conflicted on these roster changes so much, because yes, Kiki was dying a lot in support, but from what I understand, that Kiki was really good at doing pick band and everything like that. I would have liked to see Kiki kind of stay around maybe as a coach role. That would have been really cool. But outside of that, I don't think Zalia was getting the job done in soul lane. And I think that Kiki is a much better soul laner than he is a support. So I would have loved to see Kiki kind of go over to this, the solo role and kick Zalia. But they don't do that. They just do a swap Kiki for Ionic. And I don't think that Kiki for Ionic is really going to make that much difference. I honestly think that based on pure skill level and everything like that, I think that Kiki was the better choice as skill level and a player over Yannick. I think a lot of the times Kiki was dying, his team was kind of leaving him out to dry. Obviously, I can't know that for sure without being in comms, but watching what he was doing, I could see the idea behind it and what the call could have been. And then his other teammates just weren't going for it. And so that was problematic. Josh Beck, ADC. Snoopy mid is going to be the interesting part for me because he's been a really good ADC. And so now taking him out of the ADC role and putting him mid, can he thrive there like he was in the ADC role? He has swapped between ADC and mid a few times. You know, Snoopy's kind of a play it all kind of guy. It'll be interesting to watch. I don't think this team is that much better moving forward. I think they still have a lot of problems on the roster. Lasbrook kind of came in and was not that great on jungle. Obviously, the problems around that are he, you know, wasn't used to playing jungle. He was playing mid. But he had his biggest problem going in this last phase. He had really bad positioning, and that's like really basic, like fundamentals of the game. And if that starts to get affected, then everything else is going to go down the toilet as well. So hopefully Lasbrook kind of refound himself and kind of gets back to the level of prospect that he was last year. If not, I don't care what roster changes you make. Snoopy mid, that's a gamble. Yannick support, another gamble to see if that really changes things up. I don't see the dial being moved that much for this team. But I don't know. It's really hard to say with some of this. I will say, so that's all of like the big roster changes that happened. The only thing else I really want to talk about is the lack of roster change from Space Station Gaming. It's really disheartening. That is a squad that 100% had a disastrous phase one. The team is not working. Andy Mid is not going to be your long-term answer. I'm sorry, Andy, you know what he's done for the game, how long he's been around, legend, everything like that, right? Sure. But, you know, if you take that away and you look at him just as a mid laner, he hasn't been great. He's not a mid laner. He is a jungle. And even when he was the jungle, he wasn't looking that hot either. But even then, there's not a lot of mid lane potential going around. Maybe Shadow Chair, right? Is that who you bring in? Meerkat, do you bring in? I don't think so. It's maybe you try to get somebody else. I mean, they had Veninu and then they swapped him out. I don't know what this squad needs, who they need, what the personnel is, but them sticking together like this, I think Aquarius has gotten worse because they've been able to exploit him. He has not been able to do what he wants to do in his lane because of the rest of the map. Sino, if he came in and wasn't the difference maker that they needed him to be. Andy Mid is Andy Mid. And I think the only one really performing really well on this team has been Barracuda. Bear has had a great season so far. And to see him kind of let down by the rest of his team, it sucks to see. And I know this is a contentious statement, but I will keep saying it. I will reiterate it every time we talk about SSG. The problem to me is that Jeff Hinla has not been playing very well. He's been getting picked. He's been out of position. He just hasn't looked like himself. In real way. And that's really hard to see because, you know, Jeff is one of those guys who got me into Smite, like the esports, and got me into playing a support. Just to see him kind of struggle so much, it's rough to watch at some points. But this is a squad that definitely needed to make a change. But as I've said several times on this show, they've kind of put themselves in a corner where they can't. This is a squad built upon Barra and Jeff and that homegrown talent that, you know, we're the good guys. The Space Station Gaming is the Wranglers commercial of Smite. They're Brett Favre in his denim jeans in the backyard playing football with the boys. And you can't just get rid of the dads in that commercial, because then it's weird, right? Space Station Gaming can't make big changes because they've hitched their wagon so much to who Barra and Jeff and Andy are. That's an unfortunate side effect of how they've kind of done things, I feel like. If you look at their SSG Gold roster too, it's a stream team, right? You picked up Chapo. You picked up Chapo's buddy, Uzi. You picked up Matty Pocket. You picked up more entertainers. And that's what they did last time they had the SSG Gold roster. You know, and we've talked about this a lot. And whether or not they find success, you know, a broken clock is right twice a day, right? They didn't put forward, especially with the resources that they have at their disposal, they actively did not put out the most competitive roster available. You can't tell me that Space Station Gaming couldn't have the Armada roster. You can't tell me that SSG couldn't have had Baskin and Snoopy and all these other players in the SML playing together under one roof. That's just unrealistic. Armada just kind of came out of nowhere, whereas SSG is more established, right? It doesn't make any sense. And so looking at SSG in the Pro League, they need to make a change. They brought in Alpha Jackal, and what has that done? I mean, I love Alpha Jackal, but it doesn't feel like he's made or been able to. That might be the problem, right? Are they listening to me? Or is he able to kind of make anything happen? Barra, Jeff, Andy have been in Smite a long time. Sino and Aquarius, they've been around for a bit. Aquarius was like the rookie of the year, best upcoming solo laner. Sino won Worlds, right? How do you talk to those guys as Alpha Jackal? And as much as shitty as it sounds to say, like, if you come in there like, well, you know, Alpha's only lost Worlds, what good is he? Like, that's a player mentality that I could see, and it's really toxic and it's shitty, but I could see that, right? And I think Space Station, they need something. Bringing in Sino, yeah, great. But by not making, you know, youthful changes elsewhere, you know, Jeff needs to go. Jeff needs to go. He's out of position. He's not making the right calls. They need a new support. But because the support pool is so small right now, who do you bring in? I guess is like, it's rough, right? It's maybe they figured their stuff out. I don't think that they will have. They haven't been the hottest team so far. But, you know, kind of moving towards a double Hunter meta. Do I think, I'm trying to think, does Andy play Hunters? Do I put Andy on a Hunter? Do I put him on traditional mages, right? Space Station has had time to figure out the meta and really break down what their style fits in with the current meta. So could be interesting there, but I don't know. I just know that I don't like the Space Station non-roster change. I think they were one of the teams that needed to make changes. You know, Renegades, they're not gonna make changes. They just want MSI. They're looking great. The meta fits them extremely well. They have a lot of great communication. I will say that, you know, watching back VODs and watching back MSI, Renegades didn't do anything too extravagant or amazing. They didn't like do these big flashy plays, the way that Renegades won MSI was by just playing their roles in the squad really, really well. I don't know if there's anybody who is a viewer of this show that is really into football for our European and abroad fans, and soccer for our degenerate NA fans, or American fans, I guess, is really just how that works. But, you know, you line up people in formations, right? So, whereas your center back in one formation does this job in the formation, the center back on another squad who's a center back's a defensive player. I don't know. This is going to fall apart if I start breaking everything. But, you know, you have a center back who, you know, pushes forward a little bit more, plays outside the box and, you know, towards, you know, midfield more or something like that. These are all things that you really kind of doctor with. And I think Renegades has really done that very well, where they have. I said this to my team as I was breaking down VODs. If you look at the Renegades play, Raffer has more in common with Cherio than he does Nika. Your carries on the team are Funball, Dardez, and Nika. Nika kind of plays... Nika plays a really interesting role of a hybrid. I mean, he plays the solo lane, right? So he builds hybrid. He builds tanky and damage. But the way that he plays it is very much more in line with the carries. And he's able to get kills off of that. He's able to rotate, and he plays it very aggressively. And then you have your jungle and your support really being kind of your facilitators, your playmakers, your supporting players. Even when Cherio's playing things like Kali, which are very aggressive carry gods, he still plays them in a way that sets up his team to do things. And I think that's really important. When you know how your style is, you can play gods and characters that don't necessarily fit up that align with that traditionally, but you can definitely play it that way. And I think that's what, like, I think a lot of what Season 6 is finding all of those gods. The rise of the Najah support, Fenrir support, you know, your Jonquay ADC, things like that, you know, transitioning things to be, you know, the idea of more than a solid, like, no, they have to go here. And I think that's why what makes Renegades really strong is just their communication to rotate and do things and call things and do it. They don't play a very flashy game of Smite. They just do it very well. Dignitas kind of on the other end of that, you know, they don't make any roster changes. You could argue to make a change in mid or something like that, but I think, you know, this is still a squad that's very strong, and while they did have a disappointing MSI, I think you still give this roster more time. Same thing with Knights. Ooh-wee. Knights, everyone keeps saying I don't can't believe the Knights lost to Renegades. Knights have looked so good. I've never once thought, like, going into any week, that Knights were the dominant force that should win everything. And I don't know. I don't think they don't make any changes here. Obviously, they don't. Who do they bring in? You're getting rid of Deathwalker. You're going to get rid of Adapting Zeros. Like, and then who do you offload those guys to, right? This is an all-in team for the whole phase. And phase one was a big fat F. Failure. You didn't win. Anything less than winning it is failure. Rival. Rival had a bad MSI. Get knocked out by Armada, but I don't think you can make any roster changes. I think it's like the more you win, the more you're going to lose later on, right? And I think Rival got, you know, kicked at the right time. Obviously not the right time, because they would have liked to win MSI. But, you know, going forward in phase two, they're going to take everything a lot more seriously and see the level of competition in front of them more. And be like, okay, we can't take anything for granted. So it should be interesting to see how they kind of bounce back from MSI. United also don't make any roster changes. Could have been interesting, you know, maybe some Benji moves. I think Benji was probably a target for Splice at some point. Who else on solo lane are you going to get? Who else would be available for you? So the fact that Benji stays with United roster... Says that he's probably content with the squad and wants to grow and wants to build. Emelidou is going to carry this team to victory. And I think we did see a couple times where what I predicted where them playing through Emelidou caused them problems. But, you know, there's a lot of variables on this team that could make them really good at any given moment or really bad. And I think that variability is going to make it so the squad doesn't really go that far. And I think I have the same kind of opinion of SK. And unless they really tighten it up, I don't think they'll kind of evolve out of the middle of the pack. I think the league is still very much a top and heavy middle. Like, you have your very defined top, a very defined middle, and a very defined bottom in the Smite Pro League right now. So, all of that being considered, let's talk about our predictions for the season and how we think things are going to shake up. It's hard for me to look past Renegades as our top team, right? They come off the MSI and they do really well. I can't see them losing that momentum. I think the meta is just shifting even more so in their favor. Hopefully somebody bans on her away from Dardez, but I think as long as Dardez is able to play a carry god, he's going to do really good things for Renegades. And they're just coming at it from a different angle. And like I said, the things that make this team great are its communication. And that's not going to go away with any meta changes, right? Ooh, wrong pipe. Ah, that's the worst. Oh. So Renegades going to be our top team. I don't necessarily think that they'll go undefeated. I don't think they'll do what Dig started the year off with, or what Rival ended the year off with. But I do think they will be a very strong team throughout the season. And, you know, as my favorites to kind of go in for the Smite World Championship if they kind of play. I've called it since day one. If Renegades mesh well and kind of get all on the same page, I think they could win a world championship. And so far, I've kind of been proven right and vindicated. And I love that Renegades are succeeding. Viva la Visa. My number two squad. I think I got to go with Rival. I know Rival did not make it to the MSI finals. And Splice, you know, traditionally should be above them here, but Rival stuck together and has a lot to learn from this. I think Slaney is a really good coach and is going to be doing a bunch of review and really analyzing what's kind of going on with the team and kind of bringing this squad together. I think PBM, Rival as a whole is a squad that's not going to accept that level of failure and really, I think, going to be a dangerous team because they've got a big chip on their shoulder now. I think the biggest chip on their shoulder moving forward is on Rival. That's going to fuel them to really buckle down and get these W's. Rival is a strong squad. I think individually, probably better than Dignitas, but Dignitas kind of had some of the better team fighting at the beginning, at least. They kind of had it all figured out, and then towards the end, we're getting beat. But Rival, I think, was playing. You know, my answer of who plays the best team Smite has changed so much over this last phase. At first, it was, you know, Dig is playing the best. And then it was, okay, Splice. No, not Splice, Dig. Rival. Rival's playing the best. And now Renegade's very obviously playing the best team Smite. After some more analysis, but Rival right there, I think Rival has the potential to be the second like team in almost all areas. So, you know, any given day between Renegades, Rival, I probably would give just over 50% to Renegades. But other than that, I think Rival could be a very good matchup against them. So for my number third team, I think I got to go with Splice. They make one roster change and it's Solo or Troll. And Solo or Troll played very well at MSI. The biggest problem with Splice right now is they looked at the entire league when they had Baskin and said, to beat us, you have to beat our side lanes. You have to make our jungle, our mid, and our support beat you. Renegades looked at them and said, okay, and did that and handily beat them. Now you're moving away from Baskin to Solotrol. Solotrol's not Baskin. He's just not. It's not a knock on Solo. He's just not Baskin. So you can no longer rely on both of your side lanes to just win you the game. There's going to be more interplay between roles. And we've seen Scream isn't winning you the game. Your mid laner, Mr. Veninu, isn't winning you the game. Aurore could win you the game. Let's be Aurore's Aurore. But they need more big time plays out of jungle and mid, I feel like. And I won't say that they can't do it or they won't do it, but it'll be hard for sure. The Kabam's got his work cut out for him. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they adapt. You know, not if they'll adapt, but how they adapt with Solotrol, because he's going to have a different god pool, different strengths, different weaknesses from Baskin and from Divios. I mean, he's already been on the squad once, so he kind of knows a little bit of what they want to do, so they don't have to like start from square one. But I do put Splice above, because Cyclone, I think, has been the best ADC. But, you know, Aurore is one of the top tier supports. They just really need to get Veninu and Scream and Solo really off to a good start and to really, you know, work with them. Or else, you know, I can see them falling and kind of being a wasted year. Number four on my list is going to be Dignitas. Dig is a really strong team and should be higher. They should be winning more. But there's some sort of curse with the Dignitas name that just prevents them from really doing that all of the time forever. Hurry played a really, really bad set that cost them. And whether or not that's indicative of moving forward, I don't know. Dig's interesting up and down. I think that the sum of their parts are greater than what they are individually. And so I would say that they should have a good season, but whether or not they are a top team, but whether they'll be at the top of the top, probably not, just because of the competition and how everybody else is playing. Underneath the Dignitas is PK. I think PK is the bottom of the top. They are going to win games just because they can overpower you. And I think they really lack a lot of synergy. And I think, you know, they have had a lot of cracks show through. Like I said, like I've harped on PK for forever. They don't win worlds, not with this roster. They don't do it. They don't have what it takes. Individually, yes, they have what it takes, but as a team, this team is less as the sum of its parts. They are lesser than the sum of its parts. I don't know how to say that, right? You know, they should be at 100, but all added up, they're actually like at a 70, and it's weird. They need to figure it out. They need to work better. I don't know how to say it, but their squad just isn't working. And I think a lot of that just comes through the different play styles, right? Vogt is a great player, but he also gets soloed sometimes. Deathwalker is a great player, but he needs pressure from the jungle. Adapting's not a guy who, you know, pressures on the solo side. Zeros is his god pool's weak. And Emilzy is still young, and I don't know. I've been kind of using it as my crutch on that team, but I don't know. I don't think I can really use that anymore. I think Emilzy has looked really well, and I think what PK need to do is just experiment a little bit, grow out. I think they did that with the Yorm pick, but they need more Yorm mids, and that's my assumption of PK. United, SK, they're the same team. They just are. Zatman, when he pops off, he pops off. When he doesn't, he doesn't, right? Same with Emilidu. These guys essentially occupy the same space. I can't put one over the other. They are the same team, in my opinion. They are the middle of the pack of Smite. They are not the top, but they are not the bottom. And that's where it kind of ends, right there, those two teams. I can't really get into anything bigger than that. Then there are bottom three, and I think it's going to be Obey. You know, I think Mineral, showing the team, is going to send them shoot up. If they all play better, if Ionic was the problem, I could see them move up into the E-United SK territory where they can take games off the top teams. But if it's, you know, just replacing Ionic, and okay, now Ionic's deaths are gone, but, you know, we're still not seeing pop-offs from Huawei, and Ducky's not really doing anything, then yeah, they're not going to really see a big change. SSG, they are a bottom team, and until they make bigger changes and kind of figure out what to do with new Smite instead of playing traditional Smite, they're going to be a bottom team. LG is the bottom team again, swapping out Kiki for Ionic, I don't think it really does anything. And then putting Snoopy in mid, I don't think Snoopy solves all your problems either. I really kind of wrestled with where I put SSG or LG. Could I in good conscience put LG above SSG? I don't think I could, because SSG did have more better looking moments than LG did, especially towards the end. But I don't know. This bottom of the league will be interesting to watch, just based on how they grow. And if SSG gets better, if LG gets better, and if Obey get better, if any of those teams get better, they break up into the upper echelon and they're taking W's off of SK and United for sure, and maybe some of the top teams as well, catching them off guard. But I think we have three very distinct tiers: Obey, SSG, LG at the bottom, SK and E United in the middle, and then you have the top of the pack, which is PK, Dig, Splice, Rival, Renegades. Maybe even we say PK is a middle of the pack team now based on their performances. That would be a weird thing to do. I wouldn't say that, but I'm thinking it, kind of. I'm floating it out there. So maybe PK is a mid-level team, not even a top-tier team. They're a mid-level team. We'll see how SPL goes. We've got games going on this week. The schedule has been posted, I believe. Phase 2, Week 1. So we've got games Thursday and Friday. Our first game of the new season is going to be Dignitas versus SSG. And without a doubt, Dignitas is going to beat SSG. There's no real room to talk about that. And then we've got a second game is going to be Splice versus SSG. And there's no way that SSG win that either. So SSG are going to start the year off 0-2. Wonderful. And that, you know, what can you do? You start your team off against some top tier competition and you are not in the top tier anymore. So wonderful. We get to kind of talk more smack about SSG and their mismanagement. That's it for our show today, everybody. Thanks for watching. I will be looking for a new co-host. So if you want to try to be a co-host of Around the Battleground, shoot me a DM on Twitter. Hit me up on Discord, wherever you can find me. Make sure that you follow UGC on Twitter, on Twitch, on Mixer. UGC events on Mixer, UGC on Twitch, and then, you know, watch our VODs on YouTube. You can find us on Spotify as well. So we're on Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play, Google Music. I'm not sure which way that's worded. Or your favorite podcast app that pulls from those. We'll probably be there. So that's new, and that's cool and exciting. So definitely do all that. And you know what? You know, I'm going to do a little personal plug. Go give a follow to Exilium, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed new org in the SML that happened to pick my team up. So go follow them, give them some love. And that's it for me. I will see you guys next time around the battleground. Goodbye, everybody.